Hi, and welcome back to Legends of Surgery. I'm your host, Tyler Rouse. Today we're going to cover Dr. Henri Hartmann. Now, many of you may have heard the name Hartmann in connection with the procedure named after him, and some of you may have a more than passing familiarity with the operation, and a few of you may even know more about some of the other things for which he's named, and we'll cover all of that. But we will also take it a step further and learn about the man himself, covering the life and works of the legendary French surgeon. Let's get started. Okay, before we get into it, let me just put a disclaimer at the top. As some of you may know, I'm Canadian, and some of you may also know that many Canadians speak French. I'm not one of those, so please forgive my pronunciations. Okay, let's begin with some biographical information, just to put Dr. Hartmann into context. Born June 16, 1860 in Paris to chemist Charles Antoine Hartmann and his Swiss wife Octavie Marie Anne Koenig, Henri Albert Hartmann went to medical school at the University of Paris. In 1882, he went on to apprentice under Dr. Louis-Félix Terrier, a prominent French surgeon known for performing the first hysterectomies in France, among other things. This was at the recently opened Hôpital Bichat. In fact, Hartmann was Terrier's first intern, and Terrier would serve as his mentor for the next 15 years. Hartmann would later say, in French, "C'est ce maître qui a fait de moi un chirurgien." It is this master who made me a surgeon. By the end of his surgical training, Hartmann developed an interest in the genital urinary system, and his graduating thesis was on cystitis, which is bladder inflammation. In fact, after graduation, he became the chief of urology at the Hôpital Lariboisière, but didn't last long taking posts at a number of different Paris hospitals before returning to Terrier at the Hôpital Bichat. In 1892, he was appointed lecturer in surgery there, then moved up to assistant director in 1898, finally becoming professor and chairman of surgery in 1909. Okay, that was the slightly boring part. But in 1914, Hartmann became chief of surgery at the Hôtel Dieu, the oldest and most famous hospital in Paris, and it is here where he'll make his most famous advances in surgery and would remain until his retirement in 1930. First, though, let's take a second to explore the Hôtel Dieu. I don't know about where you live, but in Canada, there are a number of hospitals called the Hôtel Dieu, which literally translates to the Hotel of God. So why are these hospitals called hotels? Well, the origin of the word comes from the Latin word hospes, H-O-S-P-E-S, meaning stranger or foreigner, as in a guest. This is also where we get the words hospitality, hospice, hostel, and hotel. Remember that for centuries, hospitals were not just a place to treat the sick, but were places for the poor, the infirm, and for travelers offering food and shelter. The word hospital in Old French eventually was shortened to hostel, and the S became silent and was eventually removed from the word, which was signified by the circumflex, which is that little hat that the letter O wears in Hôtel Dieu. And now you know a little bit about French. Now, the Hôtel Dieu de Paris was the only hospital in Paris until the Renaissance, and it was founded in 651 by Saint Landry. It is one of the oldest worldwide still in operation. In the 17th century, like so many hospitals, it became overcrowded and full of disease. By the French Revolution in 1789, a quarter of those admitted died. In 1772, a fire destroyed much of the building and was not rebuilt until the reign of Napoleon. The modern building, sitting next to the Notre Dame Cathedral, has 350 beds and is a primary casualty center for emergency cases, as well as specializing in diabetes care, and has a major ophthalmology department. Okay, so on to the main event. Hartmann is most famous for a surgical procedure that he first described in 1921 at the 30th Congress of the French Surgical Association. Here he reported on two patients with obstructive sigmoid carcinoma, meaning a bowel cancer that has caused a blockage. Here's the basic description of the operation, and my apologies if it's a bit technical for some listeners. The Hartmann operation is a proximal colostomy, sigmoid resection, and closure of the rectal stump by abdominal approach. First, the sigmoid colon is divided well above the tumor, then dissected downward to the levators ani, which are the pelvic floor muscles. The middle hemorrhoidal vessels are ligated laterally, and the dissection is taken anteriorly to the level of the seminal vesicles, in men, approximately the same depth for women, and the rectum is cut across at least 3 centimeters below the tumor. The rectum is then closed in two layers, the pelvic peritoneum is closed, and the sigmoid colon is brought out as an end colostomy, meaning the patient will require an ostomy bag for bowel movements. He was known to have said that both cases were as uneventful as a cold appendix. Now, the reason that he devised this surgery or procedure was that the previous surgical approach for this problem, called the Miles operation after William Miles, an English surgeon, was an abdominal perineal approach, basically meaning coming from above and below the rectum to remove it. This operation is still used today, but at the time, in Hartman's hands, he was having a mortality rate of 38%. With the new procedure, he reported 3 deaths in 38 patients when he wrote it up, and this was an 8.8% mortality. Hartman's original intention was for the procedure to be definitive, meaning it was complete in the first operation. But some surgeons did successfully complete a second step, which is to anastomose, or rejoin, the sigmoid colostomy to the rectum to reestablish continuity, typically once the original disease process had settled down as a second stage of the operation. Now, Hartman himself felt that this carried too much risk, but it had become accepted as part of the operation in many cases now. In fact, the operation is still in use for emergency surgery when immediate anastomosis is not possible, usually because of inflammation due to the bowel being perforated, or if the bowel is too injured to be reconnected. This is typically seen in complicated diverticular disease or obstructing sigmoid tumors. Restoration of bowel continuity is typically attempted about 6 months after the first surgery, but can itself carry significant risk. And it's worth noting that the procedure did fall out of favor for a while, but was rediscovered in a sense in the 1970s for these specific scenarios. Now, Hartman has also had his name attached to a few other things, including a mosquito or hemostatic forceps, which is a surgical instrument, the Hartman's critical point, which is a site on the large intestine where the lowest sigmoid artery anastomoses with the superior rectal artery, also known as Sudex point, but this is no longer relevant surgically because of changes in the operative approach. Lastly is Hartman's pouch, which he identified through meticulous dissection of the gallbladder and its vasculature, which is an outpouching of the gallbladder wall forming a mucosal fold where gallstones commonly get stuck, and it's an important landmark for surgeons performing cholecystectomies, which is removal of the gallbladder. All right, so finally, let's revisit the man himself. Now, Hartman married Lucy Jean Cecil Deharme and had no children. He devoted his life to his craft and was a prolific writer in many areas of general surgery and was renowned for his lectures and clinical lessons. In fact, his approach to clinical examination methods became so famous in Europe, which he taught every Tuesday, that a new amphitheater had to be built to accommodate all of the visitors. He espoused the importance of detailed and precise history and meticulous, gentle examination. But apparently he had a reputation for hammering away at students in what could be a sarcastic and humiliating way. He was known as being very calm under pressure in the operating room and fastidious about hemostasis, but would work in complete silence, only describing to his students what he had done after the operation was over. He was fond of quoting the Polish surgeon Johann von Mikulitz, saying, quote, "I can recognize a good surgeon not by how he cuts, but how he sews," end quote. In retirement, he remained active in many societies and co-founded and led the French League Against Cancer. His house was frequented by students and colleagues, and it was his custom to have an annual meeting at his home on January 1st. In 1952, the first year that his wife was absent due to her recent death, he hosted alone. Once the guests left, he slipped on some stairs to his death. He was 91 years old. His contributions to surgery, both in France and the world, were immense. One of his biographers, Jean Patel, said, quote, "After Hartman, it is said that surgery had been elevated to a true science," end quote. Well, that wraps up another episode of Legends of Surgery. I hope you enjoyed it. Next week is the last episode before Mother's Day, so in honor of the mothers in my life and in all of yours, we'll explore some of the stories behind the cesarean section. So please join us then. Please rate the podcast on iTunes and leave a comment there, or follow me on Twitter at Surgery Legends. Like us on Facebook at Legends of Surgery, or send an email to legendsofsurgery@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you about your thoughts on this podcast or ideas for future episodes. And as always, thanks for listening.